This week on Two Legs,
we're talking about Club Sandwich.
And I'm the guest, Dale Pants. And we'll be talking about Club Sandwich, the history, and lots of other stuff. Join us.
Stay tuned. Fans, and welcome to another edition of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and with me, as always, is my partner in crime, my backwards traveler, the man behind the curtains, if you will, the guy that puts this show together for us. He is the one and only Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on, my friend?
Happy Sunday, man. Just getting ready to eat some club sandwiches.
All right. Yes. Hold the meat, though, right?
Yes.
On this one?
Have to. BLT. Lose the beat.
Yeah, BLT. Yeah, hold the tea. Yes. Actually, you know, I posted a picture of club sandwich, but it was a vegan one, so I had the vegan deli.
Oh, you were okay then. You were okay.
Yes. So my wife would approve, you know. So she
nice.
Had to But anyways, so we have a special guest tonight, and if you can't tell by the title of this episode, it's all about Club Sandwich, and we have here the man who created the Club Sandwich Facebook page, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later on in the show. But he is Dale Pants. Dale, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, how you doing, everybody? How you doing? How you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks for joining
us.
Thanks,
Dale.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get to Dale, though, we're going to talk about a few things. First of all, there's been a brand new fan-made five-parts documentary on YouTube. It's all about McCartney, and the great thing about it is it's all solo McCartney. You know, the first 5 minutes is Beatles-related, but I think his solo story needs to be, you know, a little Beatle-related, because obviously he was in the Beatles, but good stuff. It's by a gentleman named Breathless 345, and we have been in contact with him, and we are going to send him a little questionnaire for him to tell us about his little, you know, his journey for making this project. So we hope to have that Q&A up soon. But guys, Dale, I mean, you've checked it out. I mean, what were your thoughts on this documentary?
It's mind-blowing, the footage, and you know, it's great to see somebody independent doing such a great documentary that has the time to do it, because I don't think that MPL or McCartney's crew will ever, probably outside of the Wingspan documentary, ever do anything official. So this is probably the closest thing that we will ever get to, you know, the telling of the solo story through the eyes of
right.
bandmates, and it's just it's phenomenal, the work that went into it.
It's been tremendous. I'm only on the first part, but it's really good. And you have to wonder, you know, YouTubers these days, things go viral, and that kind of can create a chain of event of stuff. You know, if this takes off, does that force MPL's hand to address
right.
it and actually
right.
do something? You know, so you never
right.
know how these things take off in the digital age now, and how popular it gets. So, but mm-hmm. kudos to him. It's well made. Obviously, there's a labor of love with that, and it's assembled together beautifully. I said I'm only on part one, but it's really good, and I'm looking forward to getting a little bit more of info on how he assembled that and put it together. So that'll be
right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what he does. I mean, he describes it as a labor of love and for the fans of McCartney's solo career. And, you know, he stated that, you know, he's not making any money whatsoever on this project. And, you know, he even said, if you got to take it down, you know, take it down. Or, you know, if I got to take a song or two off, you know, let him know. But the fact that, you know, that this gentleman took the time to put this together, which is, it's near, I would say it's probably 6 hours long, if you factor in all the, you know, the times from each episode. And the interviews that he found, the footage like that he found, like you said, Dale, just some amazing stuff. And that last episode for sure, you know, had me, you know, tearing up a little bit.
He did what Wingspan was not, you know, he you know. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was so great, because you got to get input from the other members of the band.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And he did. I mean, he pretty much got input from a lot of musicians that helped him throughout the years. Yeah. Even members that weren't a part of a band. I mean, you're talking about like studio musicians and stuff like that. So, you know, good on him for that, you know. And it just really is an amazing piece. And then, you know, who knows, maybe, you know, MPL could do something in the future after, if, you know, who knows if they would even consider watching this, but it would be really cool if they did do like a Beatles anthology style documentary, you know,
on him.
MPL. Yeah.
So if you're a random YouTuber, Tom, how do you look this up and find it? How would you search for it?
I would just type in Breathless 345. That's the gentleman's YouTube name. And I think that's where you would go ahead and
find it. And it's called McCartney. What is it called? It's just called McCartney.
It's just called McCartney. And then each episode has its own title. Right. You know, so, you know, so you should check it out there. But, yeah, I mean, if you haven't checked it out yet, I definitely recommend giving it a watch. And, you know, I would say there's something to learn for all classes of McCartney fans, whether you're a hardcore McCartney fan to a beginning McCartney fan. I think there's something to learn for everyone. Definitely worth a check. It's I think it's worth the 6 hours. I mean, I'm on my second time around watching it, actually, you know, as starting to get, you know, questions ready for the guy. And I'm enjoying it just as much the second time around as the first time. So, so good on him for doing that. So, and then now we also, as we're, you know, anticipating the Flowers and Flaming Pie archive release, we're getting all this extra stuff coming out. The EP, I think it's just a digital EP. I think that's officially out now. Now have the World Tonight videos out now. We have two of those, and those look beautiful. Dale, what are your thoughts on those two videos?
It's great to see the Alistair Donald video again. I think that you've seen little bits and pieces of it when the album originally came out, but now it's fully restored. And right. I think that McCartney had control over the video for the longest time, and now it's part of this box set, and I was happy to see it again. I always loved the original video for The World Tonight, but it's good to have two videos.
Two versions, right. Yeah. Because it wasn't part of the McCartney Years box set.
No.
You know, yeah. So that, and I think Young Boy were the two videos from Flaming Pie that were not part of the box set. So it's good to have it there. And you're right. I mean, both of them look beautiful, as have the other couple videos that McCartney has released over the last year.
I've gotten tremendous, you know, 4K and upscaled, and they've all been beautifully restored.
Yeah, Wonderful Christmas Time looked beautiful when he re-released it last December.
Yeah,
10 times better than what we had, especially what was on the McCartney Years box set. So.
Yeah, it's funny, you read a lot of YouTube and Facebook comments and stuff on these videos, and how crappily produced they are, but they're missing the point. That was the intention. Was the intention, you know, these people, they don't realize that he wasn't trying to spend $5 million on a video like he did for Take It Away. He was just trying to make a simple video, and just, it's homespun, homegrown affair. That's what this Flaming Pie era is in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Yeah, and so, and you also want to talk about an anniversary, special anniversary, right, Andy?
Yeah, well, as of today's recording, we're recording on June 28th, and today is the 30th anniversary of Paul's concert in Liverpool at the Albert Dock, and that was his second homecoming. It was the famous show where he played the Strawberry Fields medley, tribute to John Lennon, and there's great footage of that concert. I have some friends of mine who were at that show. And as some most of our viewers know, I lived in Liverpool for about 2 years and got to know the area and the city quite well. So I've seen that all my social media today, people who were there, people who remember the show. And actually, I think it was actually featured as, if you can remember, I think it was featured as a part of the Disney Channel's Coming Home series, which was a way back in the day. They used to do Coming Home with all these different artists, and they focused on that event, Paul McCartney coming home. And they showcased it around his return to Liverpool, playing live on this date. And it was his first time playing in Liverpool since playing at the Royal Court Theatre in December of 79 with that final Wings lineup. So in your Macca live history dates, this one is not hugely popular, but I mean it's pretty significant in terms of Liverpool for sure.
He had this was with his Flowers and Off the Ground band then.
Yeah, well, Blair Cunningham wasn't in yet, but it was still with the Flowers band, and it was basically just a date sandwiched into the tour, to play at the, and it's there's some great footage of that on YouTube. You can just see him, and it's an amazing concert, and hearing people's perspectives on it who were there, getting to meet them. I mean, that was just like, that was the best. If you go to the Cavern Club downstairs, there's a big life-size poster, which is the one that was shared on social media today. You know, Paul comes home June 28th, 1990. It's pretty cool.
Right. So was this one of those shows that they tried to keep secret, but or was it a well-known show that the public knew about?
Oh, for sure. No, I think it was a well-known. It was advertised. It was an advertised gig.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but it was an outside gig. It was played on the Albert Dock, which, if you've never seen it, it's just an amazing place for a concert. And the Albert Dock is where, if you've ever seen those early photographs of the Beatles when Ringo first joined around September of 62 and stuff, that's exactly where the concert was held.
Very cool.
You have all that history right there, which is pretty, pretty amazing. And then you hear him sing Strawberry Fields. I mean, like, how could you not tear up listening to that,
Right.
Pretty cool. But that's just on this date in Macca history.
Gotcha. Very cool. Very cool. All right. Dale, I just want a quick question for you. Flaming Pie, you're a fan. I take it. Excited about this new archive release?
Let me tell you something. I am a huge fan of Flaming Pie. Have been since the album was released in 97. It's probably one of my favorites. To me, I think that it's an instant McCartney classic. Hands down, some albums are slow burners for a lot of people. It takes a while. You get a couple tracks. But for me, it's pound by pound. It's just a solid record. There's some weaker moments. McCartney albums aren't, they have those moments. But I'm excited about. I ordered the super mega deluxe.
You went there, huh?
Yeah, I did. I broke the bank, and I'm not eating well at all.
Ramen noodles for the next 3 months, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, good for you, man.
Right. But I'm a big fan. Yeah.
Are you just doing the big box set? Are you getting any vinyl as well? Are you a vinyl guy at all?
The box that I have ordered online is going to have the vinyl in it.
The vinyl's in that.
That's right. That's right.
Right. The vinyl's in that.
The super box does have the vinyl in it. That's right.
Which I'm excited about. There's all these little extras that I probably don't know what to do with, but I'm excited. I mean, I was hoping that they would do the Back to the Egg, London Town box, but I'll take Flaming Pie. I don't care.
We'll take anything, right? Yeah.
That's it.
Right. So looks like I'm frozen here for a second, but you mentioned the Back to the Egg and in London Town. I know one of the big things was a lot of people were complaining about the price of this Flaming Pie set, which it is a lot. But think of if both Flaming or Back to the Egg and London Town came out. I mean this would be costing us even more money. So in a way it's kind of cool that it's just this one set right now, and then maybe later on in the year we will get the Back to the Egg in London Town. So give people, Dale, a little sense of your background a little bit. When did you become a McCartney fan? Did you start off as a McCartney fan and then a Beatles fan? How did that work for you?
Oh wow. when I was a kid, in the early 1800s, I was a big fan of Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. And I remember Paul McCartney coming on with Father Guido Sarducci.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
And they aired the coming up music video. And from that point forward, I just was magnetic. I was attracted to the music. And as I got older, I started saving up my own money allowance and bought McCartney to Tug of War. And then my mom, who had this huge vinyl collection, had some Beatles records, and she said, Paul McCartney. And I always thought the Beatles at that point when I was a kid were like a 30-piece band. There's orchestras, there's horns, and I see four guys on the cover, and there's all these sounds. And then I explored that avenue, but I started off as a McCartney fan, Wings fan, and eventually became more involved with the solo career mostly because I didn't know that previous era, but I love it. But I just feel more close to the McCartney era of solo music.
Gotcha. It sounds like maybe we might be in the same age range because, yeah, I mean, I discovered McCartney. I didn't catch the original broadcast of that episode, particular episode with McCartney being interviewed, by Father Guido Sarducci. But yeah, I did, like a year or two down the line, I did catch a rerun on it on NBC. And that was the first time. It wasn't the first video I saw. So it had to have been around 82 because I saw the Ebony and Ivory video and I saw the Take It Away video. Fun times. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, Paul was the first one that I discovered, but it wasn't until probably, 86, 87 when I became, a bigger fan of just all things Beatles. But so, as I said earlier, we're talking about Club Sandwich. Now, I'm embarrassingly going to say that up until about maybe 2-3 years ago, I didn't know Club Sandwich existed. Yeah, it's a damn shame. Get a slap on the wrist here.
You were in JV land, buddy.
I know.
Come on.
I'll take that.
We bumped you up to varsity, though. So
yeah, thank you. So, but there's just so much to know. How can you know everything, right? But anyways, we brought Dale along. Dale is the creator of, like I said earlier, he was the creator of the Club Sandwich Facebook page. So I would hope that means that he has some knowledge of Club Sandwich,
I know about as much as you do. No.
Yeah, right. Thanks. But Andy, when did you first become aware of Club Sandwich?
Club Sandwich, I guess, would have been like the dawning stages of like the internet, really, in the late 90s. Now, I'm a little younger than you guys. So, I got around this Flaming Pie era, like 97, 98. I'd read about Club Sandwich on his website, forums back in the day, like AOL forums. And I mean, I remember reading about, Club Sandwich. And there were some really crazy websites back in the day. There was a really crazy Russian one that actually had PDFs of all of them. I don't even think it exists anymore. Maybe Dale knows, but I remember seeing them on there. I'm like, oh, that's a pretty cool fanzine. But I mean, as a kid at the time, I mean, who can afford a subscription to Club, when you're just a teenager? But I was very cognizant of Club Sandwich and knew about it. And was always like, well, it must be really cool. And then, fortunately, many years later, my professor in Liverpool gave me about 50 issues of them. So they're, they're tremendous things, which, we'll dive into.
Great. Okay. Now, Dale, when did you first become aware of Club Sandwich?
I used to get a lot of, when I was a kid, before the internet, this is going back to the 1800s. Yeah. We didn't have much knowledge of the music for fan sites. If you needed the lyrics to a song, you used to have to buy these little music magazines, like these teen magazines, and they had sometimes a lyric to a popular song. And one time I was flipping through that or Rolling Stone magazine, and one of these magazines had the ad for the Paul McCartney Wings Fun Club. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was not Wings anymore. It was right. during the 80s, but Wings had long disbanded. And I remember just saving up my summer allowance, and I dropped the membership money down. And one day I get a package from England that looked a little like this thingy.
With
all these membership cards and postcards and posters and thank yous, and the club sandwich was in it. And it was this this ritual that every once in a while you get a new issue in the mail from England, and you see it and you get excited and you wonder what Paul's been up to, and you run to the mailbox and there it is. It's like, and this is before the internet connection.
Right.
Very valuable for that time. It was like,
right. Yeah. So, okay. You said you had to drop money for a membership. Now, was that like a yearly membership, or once you were in, you were in?
Yeah. How much did it cost, Dale?
Right around the time I joined, it was somewhere like £13, which is somewhere around there, 13, 15 pounds.
20, now, a year, and that was every yearly subscription?
Yeah, and then they give you like little membership updates. You got your card with your number on it, and then you get, all kinds of offer sheets, of course. They would have the offer sheets. But they would also send little notices in the mail, like local appearances. I know during the 80s, before when I first joined, there wasn't a lot of Paul activity, live concerts. Right. But he would get notices about upcoming show events or music videos that he was working on, little notices, like cards signed by Sue Kavanoff, the editor, and a personal handwritten note. It was very personal. Even though the magazine was professional looking, it was very personal. She took care of the whole thing. And so basically it was about $20 US, and they give you posters, free stuff. And then
Dale, were those issued, were they issued quarterly, once a year, twice a year? Like what was that? How
did like they about four issues a year, I'm thinking it was. Yeah. It was like a spring. There was all this, just for the four seasons, really.
So quarterly.
Summer, winter,
Right. Yeah. Gotcha. Fall. So when you started getting them, it had already been going for a little while already, or did you start right off from the beginning?
Well, the actual club sandwich began in 1977, but it was probably the mid 80s. It was about 84, 85, around that. It had been established. It was going a little over 10 years at that point. Okay. The format had changed, so it used to be a more of a newspaper back in the day, but this was now a nice matte finished book with staples in it and posters and all kinds of things and offer sheets. But on that point, yep.
Gotcha. All right, so like you said, it started back in 77, so you just happened to have a copy of the first publication, right?
Yeah, you could also, within the issues, on the offer pages for, they would sell shirts and books and posters and all that sort of things. You could buy the back issues.
That's great. So that's how you were able to get
all
the
early ones. They had a good chunk of everything there. And a lot of it was pristine condition because they had a lot of old back stock that they didn't get rid of that they offered exclusively to the fan club members. So you couldn't buy them in the store. They didn't have wholesale.
Right. You had to be in the club to buy them. Right.
Right. Yeah. So at the time, that's how you were able to get the back issues.
Quite a bit of them. The first 10 were almost nearly impossible to ever get because they were long gone. If you talk to the members in the fun club, you might be able to get your hands on some of those, but I wasn't able to get some of those early issues till just a few years ago through the McCartney community. Piece it all together from what I originally had.
Nice that in some of the archive reissues, he's reproducing the full thing in the book, which is nice. Right. Not all of them, but I think most of them. Like I think I did the McCartney 2 archive. He reproduced the entire club sandwich, I think, from that. So it's been nice, and I think we're going to get in the Flaming Pie box. We're going to get the Flaming Pie issue too.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
And the Flaming Pie one will also have The Flame, which is a mock tabloid, that McCartney issued through a newspaper.
Oh, cool.
Advertising the Flaming Pie album. So you got the Flaming Pie club sandwich through the club, but then some of the newspapers, I believe in England, they had The Flame, which is like a 4-page or 5-page a mock tabloid with information of the songs and him working on the Flaming Pie album.
Gotcha. Hey, quick question for me, Dale. When did they actually stop calling it the Wings Fun Club, even though it kept issuing the club sandwiches?
They stopped calling it the Wings Fun Club right around the last phases of the Fun Club days. It was in the 90s, and they had transitioned from the Wings Fun Club to the Paul McCartney Fun Club. That was the big thing. Even the membership cards, they changed. They took the Wings logo off, and they put a picture of Paul, the famous picture of him from 89 with his hair. He's rocking back, and he's playing guitar. Right. That's on the card. But, that was in the 90s. It was shortly before they folded. It wasn't long because they did have a stretch and a long run from the Wings Fun Club, even though Wings had disbanded for a while.
Like, gotcha.
Sure.
Yeah. So was there anything else before the Wings Fun Club magazine? Or, what do we call it? Do we call it a fanzine? Or, what is –
the craziest thing is right around 2014, 2015, I have a bit of a background in journalism and writing. So I came up with this crazy idea. I knew that the anniversary of the Wings Fun Club, Club Sandwich, started in 77. I was going to get back and kind of a book on it. And I realized that it had a little bit of a prehistory before 1977 that I was completely unaware of. And I'd start reading little magazines and I see these other issues of the official Fun Club newsletter. I'm thinking, these do not look like the ones that I have in my collection. When did this start? So there was this from 72 to 1977, before the Wings Club Sandwich magazine started, there was what they call, a lot of fans call, the pre-club, the pre-fan club, or the pre-fun club. And it was basically, it started off with a couple smaller newsletters that were just typed, which the secretary, her name was Lucy, and she basically was a college student, and she was gathering names just for a future Paul McCartney fan club with Wings. And she took these names and requests and responded to the fan mail and gathered all this information. And what happened was, by 1973, when Wings was on tour, what they did was they released the Red Rose Speedway album in the midst of that, or right before the 73 tour of the UK. And right on the back of the Wings Red Rose Speedway album, I'm sure you guys know, there was at the bottom of the Braille messages, Stevie Wonder. Right. There's information for the Wings Fun Club.
Not London. The Keltner Fun Club. Not the Keltner.
No, not that one. Don't want to go to that one.
Yeah.
So basically in 73, it was official. But 72 to about August of 73, you were getting these smaller newsletters. So, and then by the time you sent in your London, because it started in Wirral, England, just in 72, as this unofficial club, from a couple of people. And what happened was by 73, it became official. And then they went to this, instead of a typed letter, they went to a smaller booklet, which was, I have a copy of them here if you want to take a look at.
Yeah, please.
Let's see, where did I put them? I'm sorry.
Also, too, Dale, correct me if I'm wrong. These, the tour guide or the tour program from 72, had a lot of that fan club type stuff in it. And I think that was written by the lady you just mentioned. What was her name?
Lucy. There was Lucy, Nikki, and Claire.
I have an original copy of the program, but they reproduced it for the box set, the Wings box set. That's, if you look at that Live Over Europe,
right?
That was almost like an early edition of the fan club magazine, because it had all that biographical stuff and stuff about the band, and it was all you could. That was it. That was basically like one of the first ones, right?
Very simple. Yeah, it was very simple, and I think by the time 73 rolled around, I remember reading in one of the newsletters that they had the fun club had at least 2,400 members. So it was very small at the beginning. And then that was basically in the UK. And then by the, 73, it started expanding to North America, Canada, and outside. So I think the larger fan base over time became the American market.
Even though it originated in the UK. Interesting.
Yeah, it originated in the UK. Let me see here. Oh, you guys, I've got to give me a minute here. I can't find my...
That's all right. We can edit this part out.
Can you give me a quick... Here we go. So can we start again? I'm sorry. I didn't want to...
Yeah. No, we're all good. Don't worry. Just keep going.
Just keep going. Yep.
So here we have a sample. First, we're going to start off real fast. I want to try to blow through these, but
the old school typed ones, yeah.
A couple pages, really. That's basically the front and back of these longer typed, and that's from Claire and Lucy, and that was 72 to 73. And that was the early, and that was when it was known as it was going to be called the Wings Fun Club from the beginning. And then it switched to the Paul McCartney and Wings Fun Club, mysteriously. And then that was still all unofficial by February of 73. And then they started rolling out these typed booklets here with information on what Paul was doing as far as recording, and little offers where you could buy pens and shirts and little merchandise.
This is
the first one. This is the second.
Okay.
Going to blow through them.
So was this, again, like a quarterly type thing? Do you know?
They were every couple of months. They didn't do too many. The numbering system is really atrocious on how they piece it together. There's a couple of different numbering questions and systems that I still don't understand how they did it. It's not as organized, I would say, as the later Fun Club sandwich issues. So these
are these kind of hard to find?
These are hard to find. A lot of times you'll go online and there are reproductions that somebody scanned
like Russia or China or something.
Yeah. These are all the original ones. These are all the originals.
Oh, very nice. Cool.
And there's the Nashville, him, Paul, Lindo on the bike in Nashville 74. So these are all from the 70s. And then they get these little glossier style ones.
Okay. Yeah, start making more money.
By 70, the end of 74, yeah. And they still got these little offers, but still they're only probably about 6-7 pages tops with a little.
So this was just like band info throughout the year then, right? I mean, just what they're doing now and stuff like that.
Yeah, like Jimmy McCulloch joined and Henry left or Jeff Britton left.
How else are you going to find out this information in 1973?
There was no internet, right?
Yeah. I mean, Linda wasn't doing any recipes at that point in time yet.
I do have one with a Linda recipe in it.
Oh, no kidding. Great.
Yeah, from 73, yeah.
Wow.
It's a pea soup recipe, actually. And that was way before I think they went vegetarian, I think.
So right.
But then they started bringing what this different Wings logo. This is about 75 right here, and it's got the MPL logo on the back.
Oh, cool.
There you go. So now it's starting to get a little more.
When that starts showing up, then.
Yeah, And then they got a little crazier with this, like, tour dates and some of them. This is for Speed of Sound. It's the Wings Fishing Fun Club now, you know?
Right. So okay. That's,
and, you know, different pictures of Joe English and the band on tour, you know, from 75, 76, and then, you know, different little facts. And then that was, there's probably about 13 of those that we go into that were that format, you know, the glossy. Okay. And then came the Club Sandwich.
So from from those little small publications, they had evolved into a full fanzine, you know, official magazine.
Basically, right. The end of December of 76, they did away with that format of those booklets from the original type newsletters from the unofficial
If you were part of that, then you were going to be informed about this, the new, you know, what you're going to show us here in a second, the new style, how of what it became next, then the Club Sandwich.
And what these there was actual membership cards as well.
Okay.
So when you subscribed, a lot of people that joined, they would place ads and random teeny bopper magazines with David Cassidy and Paul in there, and God only knows who the girls crooned over. But they would have a little ad in the back, like Jackie Magazine or whatever, and they would say, join the Paul McCartney Wings Fun Club, and it's a small little ad, and then you'd send your money, which I think was 45p at the time, which is British. I don't know exactly what that is, probably a few bucks, maybe, I don't know. But they would also have these small little offer sheets as well, and you can get these pens and shirts and photos of the band and Paul and Linda, and keep up to date with the, whatever little facts they wanted to get out there that wasn't in the newspapers, you know?
Okay, gotcha.
For fans,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. So then let's talk about the first episode then of, is it Club Sandwich now with this, or is it still just the Wing?
It's probably called Club Sandwich, right?
These were known as the Wings Official Fun Club newsletter. Right. That was part of the newsletters. So basically what happened was the unofficial fun club that was started in 72 to 73 that was run by Lucy and Whirl and Claire and all those, they started the little seeds of what would the fun club would eventually become. Because at that point, other than the Beatles fun club that was run, I don't think that McCartney or MPL had, up until 76 or whatever, an actual fun club or fan club
So McCartney then had nothing really to do with those first couple years then, right?
The first couple years, yeah. It was like, it was guerrilla style, you know, punk rock style college students, you know.
Kind of underground.
Yeah, but still, very, very good job.
Yeah, I don't know where they got all their information. I would love to find some of those people today and get and just pick their brains, but it's so hard to kind of do musical hopscotch or whatever and try to locate them and track them down. But Sue Kavanoff, who was part of the early Fun Club newsletters, she went on to collaborate with Paul and Linda by 75, 76, and they start sitting around literally in the office of MPL, and they just fleshed out all the ideas that they wanted for a new McCartney Fun Club newsletter, official one, that they could get out to the fans. So Paul, Sue Kavanoff, and Linda all came together, and they basically created a newspaper format, which was fantastic. And then Sue Kavanoff eventually stayed way up until 1998, right up to the doors closed. And then it became, of course, an internet-based website that, you know, did away with the Fun Club magazines and papers.
Gotcha. So, yeah. Oh, wow. So then what is that first official, I mean, when they started the newspaper then style, you know, that's 77 then. Right.
Yeah, that was 77. I have a copy of that right here.
First one. Much more, the first few years were much more smaller, right? Much more smaller in stature, you know?
Yeah. Very basic information. If you were trying to follow, they had a couple lyric books. There was one in 73 that had all the words to Band on the Run, all the songs on Band on the Run, and a couple of the early singles like Hi, Hi, Hi.
Right,
You know, a couple of the early ones from Wings. So, and then there was a 76 lyric book for Speed of Sound, and that was all part of their little their plan, I guess. So, but then it changed format.
It was there.
First issue. I have a couple versions of this. This is more a beat up one, but I love it just as much. And this was February and March, 1977 was the very first Club Sandwich issue. And it features Paul on the front with an upright bass. It's not exactly his Bill Black bass. It's rumored that people thought, oh, that's his Elvis Bill Black bass.
Right.
That's the one that Linda gave to him. This is a white one. But it's definitely a great issue. And even this one it's just very basic. It's
right.
There's not much filler, but lots of great pictures. Fans would write in with little poems, and there was an art gallery, a little gallery corner on the back. They would write in, and they would ask questions to Sue, general questions about the albums or what they loved about the new records or anything like that. But there it is. You look close enough, you see the little.
There it is. Yep.
Yeah. So. Is there any information on, you know, why Club Sandwich? I mean, the name, I mean.
When I was starting to write a book for the anniversary in which I backed out of, I didn't have a lot of information. And I'm still trying to figure out why Club Sandwich. And I'm pretty sure this was way before his vegetarianism. So I think that it was basically just – fun club, you know, fan club. They kind of just kind of tongue in cheek with sandwiches.
Right.
I've never really got a solid answer, and that would be something I would love to ask Sue Kavanaugh.
Right.
I was going to ask you, Dale. Tom was going to ask. Do you keep up? Have you kept up or corresponded with Sue at all?
No, I think that. I even tried for the book that I was writing. I was going to have all these scans. It was a very ambitious project. I was trying to originally track down Sue Kavanaugh. I was trying to talk to Mark Lewis and Jeff Baker, all the people that were the prime members that were through the years, and even some of the earlier members of the Fun Club. And I could not track Sue Kavanaugh down. Don't know her whereabouts. She spent so much time on the Fun Club, and I know she was a great wealth of information, even for somebody that was trying to do like a guerrilla style kind of book on one of the greatest Fun Clubs since the Beatles, in my opinion, you know?
Gotcha. So this starts, and by the way, I would love it if you would, you know, maybe reevaluate that idea of book, because I think that would be an amazing. There's actually a lot of these books now coming out. I know there's, you know, Kiss. I mean, there's kind of like a book out there for like Kiss. I mean, there's books out there like that for like Star Wars, the original Star Wars action figures. You know, I think these kind of books now are pretty popular, you know, especially for hardcore fans of whatever, you know, those books are coming out for. So for a book that would have like scans of every, you know,
of every issue.
I think that
would be nice, but I have a feeling MPL would squash that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you obviously have to try to get some kind of MPL, you know, cooperation, you know?
Yeah. And I don't do well with not sleeping at night, knowing that there's threats on my head to not do something. You know, I'm from that area of the East Coast, so
right.
I don't know who they would send after me. But and I think what's great about this day and age that we live in, there's such a great wealth of knowledge, but there's still a lot of little loopholes, little rabbit holes that you never will find the answers to, because either the key people are long gone but with the case of the McCartney documentary, which I think is fantastic. Fans are really, they do it guerrilla style. They don't seem to care All right, well, if they pull it down, at least a handful of people saw it. I'll get it out there again somehow. They're using footage that they find, because I think MPL is one of the greatest. They're one of the greatest communications companies, publishing companies, and they have such an archive, but they don't make it. What even through the archive reissues for McCartney, they don't make a wealth of this stuff available. And right. It's a great injustice to all these fans. So, but you have these people that do it, and they get it out there. But it, for me, it was an overly ambitious thing to kind of get a book together. So mm-hmm. It became the energy started going into the Facebook page.
So your original idea there was to take a book and just do scans of all the club sandwiches and reproduce them, or no?
Well, I was going to do a couple different volumes, and it was right around the time I remember Paul Sally. I'm sure you guys are familiar. He was doing his Jimmy McCulloch book, I thought, wow, man, I got to get moving on this. I think a lot of people would really love it, but I just didn't have a lot of resources to kind of pull it together. And I was going to do a scan book, just a simple one, but I also was going to do like a set of books where I go through the pre-club history and I go through, interviews with like Sue Kavanaugh or, people that were part of it, Jeff Baker and Mark Lewinson. Because all these people, I'm sure they had their different involvements at different time, but I wanted to kind of do my story, my take on my love for the Fun Club,
I think too, it begs the question too. It sounds like, and I think it was, the people that were in the Fun Club that got Club Sandwich were on a grand scale, not that many people. So it's a very select amount of people that are actually getting this information, right? It's, maybe a few thousand people worldwide that are actually getting these issues, right? So now, it would be great to be able to share all that great content that was so exclusive to so many people, to everybody. That would be the ideal situation.
Especially for bums like me that didn't catch on to it until later in life.
Well, let me tell you something. You know what? You're not a bum, because I started the page, and there's a lot of people on the Fun Club page that I started that weren't members, and I love them just the same. They're all great, and the ones that were part of it, it's fantastic. But I think that this club in particular, it took place before the internet, and it was very special to me. It's a very special time. We're all kind of similar age group. Right. And it was, and even for the people before me from the early 70s, way before the internet, it was something very special to them before the Club Sandwich magazine. So, I think that the way that it was done, it was very personable magazine. There was crossword puzzles from Paul's cousin in there, Linda's photographs, great stories on activism, and all kinds of great stuff. And even during the 80s, when Paul had nothing going on far as tours, by 89, when they started doing these Club Sandwich issues with the tour and giving out tickets and all kinds of different things, like the Docs show, and there was a lot of great involvement. People were going, their minds were being blown. And this is before the internet, before access to this.
And it was like, and there must have been a really cool, to my earlier point about being exclusive, it must have been really cool, though, to be a part of that exclusive club, to say, hey, I'm getting insight and intel that is not available anywhere else, really, because and you're getting all this stuff, all the little memorabilia thrown in there. Nobody else, not the average Beatle fan or McCartney fan, not getting these things, So it really was an exclusive thing, which was really probably very cool to be a part of. Really was.
Yeah. And you know what? Linda had a big part in it, her photographs all through it. Some pictures that you'll never see published in any of her books.
No.
And you had access to her calendars and her diaries and all the pictures, postcards they would send you with images that Linda took, events that her cookbooks, of course, and anything going on with the McCartneys and stuff. But one of my favorite moments, and I don't know where you guys are within the history of the Fun Club, but the greatest was receiving this in the mail. Do you know what I have here?
What's that?
No, I can't see it.
It's got a little red star up in the right-hand corner of this
page. Oh, okay.
And a lot of fans who were members got
this. Oh, they got that. Oh, a club sandwich. Oh, that's cool.
And that's
very cool.
This is the number 51 issue of Club Sandwich, which was just a little fold out. And it's written in Russian.
Yeah. Right. Oh, shoot. Okay. So you're
And it's a front and back page, and it's got all the information about the songs on the Russian album, Chuga PCPP.
Right.
Fantastic giveaway if you were a member of the fun club. And this was one of the greatest memories for me, because all my friends were like, Dale, I know you're a member of the fun club. What do I got to do to get that?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can't find it in any of the shops here. Yeah. We're going crazy. I'm going to spend $300 here. And all I had was a membership. And they were hustling me every day and night, calling. Yeah. And I'm like 15 years old. I said, you guys should be ashamed of yourself. You're like a McCartney sickness.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
Tom, when's your birthday?
April 11.
All right, so next year I'm going to send you for your birthday.
Oh.
I want this framed. I want it in the back of your. I want it in the back of that room. I want this.
Okay. I'll do a famous thing that Paul likes to do right here.
That's a great one. That's a great issue, Andy.
Well, Dale. So if you don't know, Tom despises Off the Ground. He hates it.
I don't like the finished product.
To pick with Tom, you know.
He hates it. So I have two copies of this, so I'm sending one right to you, my friend.
Thank you. let's rewind a little bit here. Okay, so 77, that first issue comes out. How long does that style stick around for? That format,
that newspaper sticks around at least until about 78, 79.
Okay.
And then they transitioned. This is probably not the first one, but it became this glossier version, a little bit wider,
but smaller, right? Oh no, that one, yeah.
This is the bigger one here. This is with Paul from the video of Baby's Request from '79. This is the number 15 right here I'm holding, and then in color. It's in full color.
Okay.
They went to color. Some of the earlier ones had a color a cover, but in the inside, the text was newspaper, like the original newspaper. But this is all full color, and it's a couple pages with loads of information about working on Back to the Egg, the music videos.
And
they carried that over at least until a good portion of the early 1980s, that newspaper style. And right up in the corner, it was known as Wing's Own Paper.
Wing's Own Paper, interesting.
Yeah. And it was Club Sandwich, and it's also still Wing's Fun Club at that point.
Right.
Okay. Cool. So real quick though, if you got fans of the if you're listening to this on iTunes or Podbean, you should also check this out on YouTube, because our check out our YouTube channel, because Dale is showing us all of these issues and all the early copies of all of these wonderful papers that it's really cool to look at. So if you want to still listen to this later on, check out the YouTube.
Yes, you can see them, because there's some really awesome gems that he's got there. What a collection.
Right. So let me ask you this. When does Lewison get involved?
Lewison gets involved during the period which the anthology was released, during
that late
90s. Yeah.
Okay.
So by then he had written all of his great Beatles books from the 80s, like Beatles Live, and he did lots of great books, and I was a big fan of him. And when I started seeing him doing articles for Club Sandwich, I was really excited. But, to me, I love the work that he did for Club Sandwich, but I feel like he was limited to a roving reporter, if I might get a little critical. I feel like he didn't have enough to say in Club Sandwich, I feel. And I don't know if
you feel he wasn't able to really write and report in his traditional way as a journalist?
Yeah, I feel like he was offered access to the anthology, but he wanted probably more access. which I think there was a little fallout between him and McCartney.
Well, we want you involved, but only on our terms, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I don't know if there was bitterness, but I think that somebody that's a visionary like Lewison, if you're going to be working with McCartney, why not give him access? I mean, he did all these great books on the Beatles, and it's all afterthought, but I think that that's a great person to have on your team to dig into your archive and maybe get involved in releases and have access.
I mean, he did do a few of the texts for CDs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He wrote the liner notes for Flaming Pie.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So
how long did he stick around for then?
He right up until the end. He would do bits and pieces of articles here and there. He wasn't somebody that had a lot of to say in the magazines. A lot of times he would cover a concert or some kind of press conference, and that was basically it. It just didn't seem like he did enough, in my opinion. But on the scope of Club Sandwich, it was what it was. You were lucky to get a Mark Lewison feedback.
Sure.
I was happy. Right. But I think that that's definitely somebody McCartney would have definitely benefited, and the fans would have, I'm sure.
So if you were lucky, fortunate enough to be a part of this membership and get these copies, four times a year or whatnot, what could you expect in an issue, say, like in the late 80s at that time? Well, I mean, what was some of the contact that was in there that the people could look forward to?
Well, I tell you what, the issue of, I know you're not a fan of it, but the issue of that Andy held up of the Off the Ground, that had a great poster that of the band and Paul and Linda. That was very reminiscent of the White Album poster. I don't know if Andy has that copy of that poster, but that was a free fold-out poster. The Wings, the early Wings Club Sandwiches, had tons of great posters, like this... even through the 80s.
There was a poster inside this one, you're saying?
Yeah. And it was like the White Album.
No, my copy doesn't have that.
So it's like the picture collage of the White Album.
And you know how it's laid out. It's basically the pictures of Paul's band, some old pictures of Paul and Linda, and it's kind of in that style that came with that issue. And you would get these like the red even through the Wings years, you get this penguin poster. I mean, it's little funny stuff, but you would get postcards and I remember there was a time during the 80s in particular when Paul appeared on 48 Hours. They would give you a notice on the TV show 48 Hours that events. There would be music video events, the Docklands show. The Take It Away music video, you could participate in the filming of these great music videos in history.
Just had to fly over to England.
Yeah. And there's people on our page that basically were involved with that. And the Paul McCartney classical, a lot of people aren't, too much on the classical side of McCartney, but there was all kinds of giveaways for tickets for that and appearances for his concerts. There was discounted tickets for his concerts in the 80s and 90s and all kinds of things. And in Club Sandwich, some of the features, a lot of people love the crosswords. And one of the super special things was since 1977, Paul and Linda had hosted the Buddy Holly Week celebrations
in
England. And they were just jam-packed with all the friends and stars that you could imagine, the Everlys.
Eric Clapton.
Yeah, all these great artists would celebrate Buddy Holly for an entire week, and you could get tickets to that and get everything signed and meet Paul and Linda.
So you could get tickets to go to the Buddy Holly week if you were a member of the club.
Yeah. Wow. It was always in September. And the great thing about the fun club was there was always tons of these great features on Buddy Holly. And I don't know if you guys – I mean, this is a wonderful, other than the John Lennon issue in 1980, this was a fantastic club sandwich issue. This is from 1980, number 21, where it's basically all the information on Buddy Holly week.
No kidding. That's cool.
Interviews and everybody involved, and it's fantastic. But that was one of the major events. That was one of the things a lot of people look forward to.
Now, the tickets that you could get for that, I mean, did they charge you for that, or they just say, here, you can call this number?
Yeah, you would get discounted. You would get like a form that you would fill out. They would send you if you were interested. But you would get them discounted, and you would get them ahead of time before Ticketmaster. Right.
Let's talk about that Lennon issue. You have that one handy by chance?
Yeah.
The Lennon one I have, but I don't have it right in front of me.
This one's really nice.
Andy's got it right there.
There it is.
But when did that one come out?
That was 1980, the 81.
This says number 23, 1981. So probably the first quarter of 81.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. And it's got beautiful pictures from Linda.
I can see.
Yeah, beautiful.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, really cool.
And it's just photos, which this was how else could he pay tribute? I mean, they just put all these.
Well, okay, and that was going to be my next question. Was there anything written? It was basically just all photos then.
Yeah, all photos.
Well, okay. That was because that was when Club Sandwich wasn't as many pages too. So to get an issue like that, that was all photos. That's jam packed for that.
On the back, he's got a little bit of a postscript on here, So
okay.
I met John a long time ago at Walton Village Fete, and all the years I knew him, I saw a man of many faces, sometimes aggressive, sometimes warm and gentle. Linda, and I hope this special edition of Club Sandwich will keep alive the memory of a very special man who was loved by us all and who did so much to promote peace, love, understanding in a world that didn't always listen. We dedicate this issue to John, Yoko, and their loved ones, Paul.
Oh, very cool. Very
cool.
Yeah. But it's just, that was one of my favorite issues. I didn't get that at the time because I joined some time later, but I did get the back issue of that because that was right when I started getting into the Beatles. And I think that I remember seeing interviews of Paul talking about how much of a drag it was when John had died, but that just made up for it. Even though it came out in 81, it was a little after the fact. I guess by that time, Paul was ready to deal with it.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a lot of music activity in the early 80s for as far as McCartney was, especially in 81. Right. So. That was a big deal to have an all John Lennon issue.
For sure.
Well, even though he wasn't touring or doing a lot of public, appearances or whatnot, I mean, he still had a lot of music coming out that you could probably learn about in those early, in those early 80s and mid 80s, issues.
Yeah, and this is one of the first ones that
That's a great one. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, and another feature I always look forward to was the gallery corner on the back.
Yes.
If you were clever enough and artistic enough, sometimes maybe some of these people weren't, you could get your your artwork on the back of the Club Sandwich.
Oh, very cool.
Which was cool. But even looking this is to Dale's point, what you could get in these things. Like on the back of this one, the Tug of War issue, they're talking about the promotional film for The Cooler, Paul and Ringo did.
Right.
Which is how else are you going to know about that if you don't read it in this, which is so
cool.
We didn't have the internet at the time, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah. So I would imagine stuff knowledge about, the video that they did for Seaside Woman or Oriental Nightfish, may have been in those papers as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a special feature in every Club Sandwich, at least through the 80s and 90s, they would have what they called mining the film and video archive. Which is basically that. They would talk about the backyard tape from 74.
Yeah.
These rehearsals. Cool. Way before it was seen, nationally or even the McCartney video, you know, like the McCartney interview video, or even in the McCartney years. And they go into detail about Paul just setting up and playing his acoustic on during these rehearsals.
Okay. You only get a little snippet in the McCartney years menu box of that backyard.
Right.
You know, nothing really much to write home to mom about, you know.
But if you listen to the audio, there's at least 15 minutes, maybe 18 minutes of audio where you think, oh, my God,
Blackpool, why aren't they not making cool this thing
available, you know?
Right, so right. Good. Yeah, you get Blackpool, which is probably the cool thing about, you know, that, you know, snippet in the McCartney years box set.
Yeah, but he does some great Elvis kind of covers. Mm. He's like, there's a link in this building. He's playing the guitar, and he's doing some of the best McCartney finger picking and jamming on guitar, having so much fun. And it should have been like officially released, but the Mining the Film archive was fantastic because they would talk about before you would ever be able to see them on, you know, the McCartney years, for example, what went into, you know, the Keefe Co. Those guys did coming up and
Keefe Co did a ton of videos for him, right?
I always would have loved to have had Seaside Woman and Oriental Nightfish on that McCartney years box set because I love those two videos.
My God, they're fantastic, and a lot of people are very opinionated of them, but I think they're beautiful.
They're great. The Oriental Nightfish one reminds me of that movie Heavy Metal. Have you ever seen that?
Yes,
seen that?
Fantastic.
Yes, right.
Always loved this one too. This was a cool cover. I always liked this one.
That's a great one.
Yeah,
the Queen has appeared a couple times on Club Sandwich.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
So is that him getting knighted? Was that when he was getting knighted?
No, that was in the early '80s.
Yeah, this is the 80s. Yeah. Oh, there's the MJ one. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a great one. Paul's awards and Michael Jackson for all the Jackson. This is George Martin, Michael Jackson, Paul and Linda at an awards fest. Ooh. And another relatively unknown artist by the name of Pete Townsend is in there. And Mitch Shula from Ultravox.
So
fantastic. It's a sign of the times, too. They're like moments trapped in time, these great.
They really are. A lot of those photos, this was the only place you would see those photos.
That's it. Yeah. You know, really cool stuff.
Now, throughout the '80s, then did the format change at all throughout the '80s?
Yes, during the '80s, they would do what they called the bumper issues. So, if they felt like they had extra news, they would double up the size of the issue. Wow. You would wait longer in the mail to get Club Sandwich. Or if you didn't subscribe on time or renew your subscription on time, you would get a lot of delays as well. But this is a perfect example of one of the bumper issues, and it's Paul at Live Aid.
Oh, Live Aid, nice.
All-color double issue. This is number 37 and 38. And it's jam-packed with pictures of Freddie Mercury, Queen, Elton.
Oh, wow.
It's just, like, incredible. It's better to me. This was – I didn't have access to the Live Aid book. I can't remember if the Live Aid book was even out at the time. But this was one of the big moments because Paul hadn't done a lot of shows. So this was one of the few moments in the 80s.
So you said there was a double issue. So that meant that you weren't going to get an issue – in the next quarter, you had to wait a quarter, or did you still get
you probably waited a quarter because they held back because they were going to do something.
They would have just skipped a quarter, and then you would have gotten a double.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
And Tracy Ullman's in there, another unknown, and Bob Geldof. It's a fantastic issue. That was a great one.
Yeah, I'm sure Paul would love to bury that one.
Fantastic, you know.
So you must have been in heaven at this point in time. I mean, as a young McCartney fan, getting to see all these great, you know, photos that no one else was seeing, you know, except for you and other members of the fan club, you know.
Yeah, and even going back to the early days, one element that I noticed that wasn't as prominent in the later years was, in the early years you would have pen pals and swaps with other fans that were part of the club. Okay. And I mean, you did get your own membership number, just like in membership card through the years. But the later Club Sandwich and Fun Club, they didn't have an ad on the back or on the offer pages of like, I'm 17 and would like to meet up with a girl from the UK. I'd like to share my photos, they didn't have any of that pen pal kind of stuff. I guess it was a creepier time during the 80s. I don't know. But that was one element that they kind of did away with when they changed formats and everything. And they kind of fine-tuned it to be a great magazine that was very informative and full of these great photos from the Prince's Trust concert. There was a
huge
that. And when McCartney wasn't doing these live shows, he would do appearances like the one with him and the Queen on the front that Andy was showing. They would there was a rock show premiere issue. And just,
oh, cool.
And when Ringo got married to Barbara, there was a whole issue on that. So it was like kind of this all, that was where you got all your news for all things McCartney and Wings and beyond, Linda's awards and Paul's awards. And it's just, it was done in a very down to earthy way.
So let me ask you this. So then between the years of 93, 97, when he wasn't really doing much because of the Beatles anthology, then, how did they handle those years?
Yeah, they still kept up with the Buddy Holly. You would still get information about the Buddy Holly week. They stood by their formula. You would get all that. But it would also tell you, that he's working on new music. But there was album-specific issues relating to, all right, I know in particular with the Russian, I know that's fast forwarding a little bit, with the Russian album, there wasn't a lot of photos about them working in the studio or anything. You didn't get the album, but then the later issues would talk about the tracks and all that.
Okay.
And that's how they would handle it. They would kind of do it in a way, well, here's a new song, or they would talk about B-sides, or there would be features on 10 years ago what Paul was doing, or they had a history behind a lot of facts and things.
Gotcha. Go ahead, Andy.
I was just going to say, so again, in this kind of same time period that Tom's talking about here, late 90s, obviously we're approaching, Linda passing is really the death knell on the clubs, on the magazine, right?
Yeah.
And was the final issue, I don't know, was the final issue was the Linda tribute, right?
That's issue number 86. Yeah, that sadly was accompanied with a letter to all the fans in the club saying thank you, and we expressed that.
Okay, so you knew that this was going to be the final issue then?
Yeah, and we thought, and it was worded to the effect that we think that it was only appropriate, basically, that we did a photo tribute to Linda, who was pretty much not only just in our lives and Paul's, but she was one of the main reasons why there was a club.
You're right, though. I remember reading that letter at the time when they were stopping it, and the letter pretty much to what you said was she was the real inspiration for the club. And Club Sandwich, so.
Yeah. And I remember right up to the end there, I remember being at a Beatles Fest, and there was talk going around about Linda, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? And I remember somebody telling me finally that Linda had cancer, and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is terrible. And as time went by, I just thought, oh my God, I hope she pulls out of it. All the fans were pulling together and hoping that she would, battle it, and things would be great, and we'd see her. But then when the news hit with that final issue, it was it was done, you know, and you see Paul on television and the funeral and all that. And it was just an end of an era. They had run 25 years or, you know, solid with the Fun Club. And then it took a break, and then it went basically to the internet's hands, you know.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay. And it lost a lot of its down home feel.
Right, the whole original reasoning for the club and joining and getting all those bonus things and things that were available to being a member of the club, that went out the window then once it went online.
Yeah.
You talked about some of your favorites. Do you have any other favorites around that you want to show real quick, or ones that stuck out to you over the years?
I'm surrounded by stuff here. So we were just talking about the last issue, number 86.
There it is. Yeah,
okay. And sadly, I've seen people online trying to sell this very issue for, you know, a couple $100s. And, you know, I've had a copy of it for years, and I don't want to part with a lot of my stuff. That's one of the reasons I'm a hoarder. But I feel like, it's a beautiful issue if you can get your hands on it. And it's filled with so many beautiful pictures of Linda in there and Paul. And just, it's so well done.
Seems like it's pretty, a lot of pages in that one.
It's a double issue. It's a double. It's a double one. And it's loaded, man, with pictures of her when she was young. And it's got a little tribute to her. And that's one of my favorite issues. And it's basically a message from Paul talking about, you know, how special Linda was. And that's at the very front page. And it's got a beautiful picture of her from the early 70s. And,
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's a wonderful issue. Yep.
Very cool.
This one's one of my favorite ones. This is him being knighted.
Yeah.
This is the anniversary issue also of 20 years of Club Sandwich, 1977 to 97. And inside this one is like, well, they got like the whole like story of him being knighted and stuff. But then they actually recap all like the history of Club Sandwich in this anniversary one.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, that's a great one.
Cool. Gotcha.
And it's got the covers, all the covers up to that point as well.
Yeah, it's cool. All the covers of all the issues of Club Sandwich.
Oh, very cool.
All in this 20th anniversary.
So the wait for then for you, Dale. I mean, that was almost kind of like knowledge right there to where you could go back and try to find that stuff if you didn't
have it. Which one are you missing? Right.
Yeah, exactly. And they have little blurbs next to the picture just of what was going on in McCartney's world with each of those issues, what albums he's working on. And here's another 10 years anniversary issue with the
poster. Oh, nice.
That's a great one. That's from 87, but that was at the 10th anniversary, and that's a great one. And even during the 90s, right before Linda's passing, there was an emphasis on the anthology series. There was a couple of issues devoted.
Well, I was going to ask you if they did any issues dedicated just to the anthology.
Yeah, there's tons of interviews, and McCartney did not give a lot of interviews to Club Sandwich over the years. And in fact, through the whole history, I think fans were able to write in maybe once or twice. And they had an ad in Club Sandwich. If you have any questions for Paul, he's going to do a special Club Sandwich interview. So that was something to look for during that time. And people were going off the wall. You were wondering if you're going to get your question answered by Paul. And that was... He answered it. He did two issues like that where it was a very...
It's kind of almost maybe the start of You Gave Me the Answer right there that he does on his monthly,
So and, beginning to finish, start to finish, how many issues were there published of Club Sandwich? How many?
There was, starting from 77, there was 86 altogether right up to that last issue.
86, wow.
And before that, there was, like I said, there was at least 13 of these guys.
Right.
And probably about five typed newsletters from the end of 72 to
August. All the unofficial ones. So throw it all together, call about 100 or so, probably all together.
About 100, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Amazing.
But there's so many favorite issues that I have. I mean, I got bags and bags of issues from the 70s that are fading. One thing about newspaper style is that they definitely discolor, so I keep them in these narcotic-friendly bag.
Right.
Gotcha.
Ziploc. and as you can see, you would get these great posters of London Town. This is London Town poster.
In the magazine?
In the Club Sandwich, with the Club Sandwich logo stamped on the bottom.
Oh.
And you would get tons of posters and things like that. But when you subscribed and became a new member, they would send you these postcards with Linda's images, and they were fantastic.
So every year that you renewed your subscription, you would get like little trinkets or little things like cards, you just said, promo stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you call the issues where they doubled them up? What did you call them?
They called them bumpers, but they're just double issues. That's all.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if they had two numbers on it, so if they had like episode or issue 56 and 57, you would know that there was a bumper.
Yeah, it would say they got the numbers right up in the corners of each issue.
Okay. That's was that the Pipes of Peace one? That's a nice one.
Yeah, this is a nice one. Yeah, very nice. It's got this like beautiful colorized black and white image.
Yeah.
Front with the handshake from the Pipes of Peace video.
Very cool. Nice.
That's a great one. There's a great feature in a couple of the ones from the '70s with Lawrence Juber, who's also a member of our club on Facebook. But I wanted to ask him a million questions. I know he's extremely busy, but I wanted to ask him a bunch of questions about the Funk Club. But he would have a little guitar section in some of these 70s issues where he would talk about various guitars he used on sessions for like Back to the Egg and different sounds and how he created them on record. And even they would have interviews with later on, they would have interviews with Hamish Stewart and
right. Okay, so they did involve other members of his band and stuff like that.
Yeah, cool. They sure did.
So go ahead. You got anything else you want to show?
Go ahead. What were you going to say? I'm having fun over here.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, when did you decide to start the Facebook page?
Facebook page I started it right around 2017. Because right around 2014, 2015, I started getting the idea for the book. But then when I realized that a lot of the dreams that I have are overly ambitious, I started thinking, well, if this book doesn't happen, I have to do something and put something in the place where people can gravitate towards it. And I can get an idea of how many people would be interested in it. And that's how the Facebook page was born in 2017. Unfortunately, I didn't make the anniversary of the first Fun Club issue, but I still have a lot of things that I scan from, the magazines that
so you do put scans of past episodes issues on the Facebook page and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I do. I try to keep it to a point that all the fans I try to keep the spirit alive of the fun.
Of what the original club was, which is very cool on your part, because you are an original member, and you're trying to share that experience that you had as an original member with, an online community now that probably let many people in that group have no idea what that experience was. So you're giving them that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think that's more interactive for me as a person, because I love McCartney. I love the Fun Club. I'm very antisocial at the time, but I love social media that I can react to people. And I get easily offended when people don't like press to play as an album. But, I feel that I'm very connected to this music, and I try to keep that spirit alive. And we have a great gang over there, and people that help me out, that help me run it, and they it's a labor of love.
So you really don't have any worries about getting taken down, for showing scans of the issues or anything like that? There's no fear of anything like that?
No, not online. And I feel it's a great, like I said before, it's a great injustice when stuff like that happens. I mean, I think that this is for the fans, all the fans. Music belongs to the people, you know. Mm-hmm. The art belongs to the people. I mean, there's copyright issues you got to get around, and that's a difficult thing. That's part of, like, Paul Sally, I'm sure, has a lot of problems with his book, I'm sure.
We're looking forward to that, and we'll have him on once that book gets announced. Yeah. And you know, a release date is coming up quick, because I'm really interested to learn more about Jimmy McCullough. And his life, and I hope that gets fast tracked soon for a release, and look forward to that. But so the Facebook page, then you can just you type in Club Sandwich and you're there.
And
right?
I don't think I'm in it, so I'm gonna look it up, and I wanna join it.
Oh, yeah. Join, please do. We have a very strict process. Mm-hmm. We have
you have a very big vetting process to join.
We keep things to a minimum. Sure. I'll be honest with you. I love everybody on the page. I love music. I'm a musician. I love people. And I tell you what, I have a hard time arguing with people. And I see some of these comments, and people get very defensive when it comes to Beatles and McCartney. And yep. Some people get very snobbish. Some people are just like, oh, I'm not going to participate. We have polls of the fans' favorite albums, and it gets very...
Oh, cool. So it's a really active page.
Active page, and we have all the Club Sandwich issues that I'm working on, trying to get out there to show people. And it's like a reference page, too. But I think that with me, I feel like the screening process to allow people in, we try to get a lot of the negative vibe out of it, just to kind of keep good that.
Which is good. You know, I mean, we don't, there's so many other pages for that crap. You don't need it on your, you don't need it on yours, you know.
I know. Look, I mean, so Andy, if you want to join, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You have to go through Leah, and Leah is very strict.
Well,
allow you in.
Put a good word in for me, man. Come on, we're going to promote this episode in there.
It's who you know. It's who you know.
All right. And congratulations to Leah by Sue, who just gave birth to a baby. So.
Oh my God! Yes, such happy news during these crazy times. And right. She's a wonderful person, and she's very thick-skinned.
Congratulations, Leah. Let me in.
Yeah. Let me in. I will let you.
Right. So you're an admin, Leah and Paul are admins as well?
Yeah, and we also I try to keep that to a minimum, because I love the content that Paul posted. I love we have Jennifer Carpentier Welsh, who's I just made a moderator. She's got the greatest polls on some of these pages. It's a lot of fun. She's a fun person. And a friend, Stevie Powder, on there. He's great. But, I figured I needed a team to kind of get some of my vision rolling. And they are some of the best people I've found on some of these websites. They have their own team. They're very busy, I know. But to do it myself, I know what it's like to do the book, try to do a book. And I know Paul goes through it. But it's very collaborative in the sense that we all love this music and McCartney. Yep,
Then going back to the book, was there any effort by you to contact MPL about what you were trying to do?
Yeah, I most certainly did on a few occasions. I'm here on the East Coast, so there is an office right on 39th Street in New York City, an MPL office, and I tried dropping by at different times of the day. I tried contacting that office. I tried contacting the office in Soho and in England, and nobody picks up the phone. I tried sending Mark Lewis in emails. I tried emailing MPL, faxing, and it's just like, you know, they're so busy, I can imagine. But it's just like when you have a vision, you just want them on board. You just want them to say, come on, man. We love the Club Sandwiches too. But I guess their focus is now the website. But, no, I couldn't get a hold of anybody, unfortunately. And
that's too bad.
It's a big sad thing.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if he's not involved with the project, the book project, kind of like the conversations with McCartney that Paul Denore did, or you know, the Barry Mills book, you know, then he really has no. I mean, if he doesn't have like control of it, then I guess he probably wouldn't want to, you know, take, you know, have something released. I mean, especially since he's had bad experiences, especially with like a Jeffrey Giuliano book. You know,
oh yeah.
He just doesn't trust anybody, really. But
yeah, well, you can't get Jeffrey Giuliano involved with anything, you know.
Right.
It's just a bad situation all around. Oof.
Yeah, he's a piece of work, that one. Yes, he is.
Yeah, I dealt with him personally before, and it wasn't very positive. And I don't know how people like that do what they do.
Right.
But I feel like it's bad for people like me that love it so much and they want to get the story straight, but don't have access. And they,
Know? Well, he did contact me to come on the show.
And
did he really?
Like, yeah, he did. And he kind of wanted to clear the air or clear his name, as you will, you know, right. as to why, you know, he did what he did, or why he wrote what he wrote. But
go give somebody else a play.
Yeah, we gave him to Sam.
He wants to sell books, but I mean, I think what's happening is he's just getting older and he's getting more bitter, and he realizes that he could have been like a Mark Lewis and beloved, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, he's written a lot of books about the Beatles.
Yeah.
And plus you got the George Harrison bio too, which, you know, I'm not too familiar with. But
he did very close to George and Paul.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. And a lot of the Wings members. And I think that was an opportunity that kind of he just blew out the window. Mm-hmm. And it just became this, I guess you get the way that he wrote his journalistic style was not really in tune to a lot of the feelings that the fans, you know, were into.
Gotcha.
You know.
Well, thank you very much for this. I mean, do you have anything else you wanted to
add about the club sandwich or anything? It's a pleasure. You know, thanks for sharing so many cool artifacts and giving us a little bit of a contextual history on the club and how it started and all the kind of interesting facts and the key players at the time who wrote all the initial fan magazine. That's just really awesome information to have. And I learned a lot. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. And I tell you what, I it's been a learning process for me. And a lot of the pieces of information that I found over the years were due to finding these people in the Facebook group who were members of the earlier club days. And they pieced a lot of puzzle pieces together for me.
Right.
And a lot of the other fans who didn't know the history, you know, and it was great. Cool. People like Andy Wheel and he's a big collector. We got all kinds of people over there. So come on over and join up. And you guys are more than welcome to, you know, become members and post up all your videos whenever you want.
Yeah, sure. Cool. Yeah, I'm already a member. So, Andy, you got to catch up with the times here, buddy.
All right. I will. says the guy who didn't even know what Club Sandwich was 2 years
ago. Yeah, I know, right?
he's like, what's a Club Sandwich? Is that like it's a Thousand Island dressing with his
right?
Exactly. I know.
Dale, is there anything you want anybody else to know about your contact information? You want anybody to get a hold of you or for questions or anything?
I don't want anyone to get a hold of me at all.
So just go to the Club Sandwich page and
find me.
Yeah, and like the page, and there you go. And and thanks for letting me contact you to come on the show. I really
You guys are a lot of fun, I tell you. And I keep on saying it. I mean, I got a bone to pick with you because I heard some things you said about one of my favorite albums, Press to Play, that I wasn't too happy with.
Not me.
Yeah, I know. I know you, Andy. Andy's my best friend. I should have added you a long time ago.
Yeah.
You guys are a lot of fun. I love you guys, and thanks for having me part of your experience. We got to do this again. Well, there's so many issues of Club Sandwich. We can do all kinds of stuff. I mean, if you ever need me,
awesome, come around. Great. Well, hopefully you can one day, you know, reevaluate the possibility of a book, and you know, and get something like that out there. I think that would be something special. But
thank you very much.
Until then, you know, as always, everybody, you can reach us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. You can check out our YouTube channel, Two Legs at Paul McCartney Podcast. Please subscribe to that. We're on Podbean, iTunes, iHeartRadio. You can Instagram and Twitter at Two Legs Podcast, and you know, Facebook, Two Legs Podcast as well. And thank you, Dale, Andy, as always, it's good to see you, and everybody out there, as always, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care.
Listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Doug.